This is the Charlottesville Podcasting Network at sevillepodcast.com. Charlottesville is home to many artists and arts organizations, but is our community fully capitalizing on its own reputation? That was the general topic of the latest in a series of creative conversations facilitated by the Piedmont Council of the Arts. Our recording begins with Maggie Guggenheimer, the Executive Director of the Piedmont Council of the Arts.
First, I just want to welcome everyone to Piedmont Council of the Arts' second creative conversation of the 2009-10 year. This is a program that we started last year that's essentially a roundtable forum for discussion about issues of importance to the arts community and the community at large. We try to bring together a pretty diverse mix of people to talk about issues. And in our first year, we covered three broad topics: education, marketing Charlottesville as a creative community, and increasing community-wide access to the arts. This year, we're repeating those topics generally, but we're beginning with something a little bit more content-heavy to be a jumping-off point for us to look at case studies either from our own community or from the national landscape. And then we're ending the conversation instead of a lot of questions, which is what happened last year. We're trying to end with a list of sort of task items for the community or priority items, things that we can be sure to put down on our collective to-do list before we leave. I'm not going to go through what Piedmont Council of the Arts is because I suspect most of you know, at least I hope, but there is information about us in here, and I want to highlight our membership form in here. One of the reasons why we can do these programs free is through the support of our members, and in addition to benefits, which you'll see on that form, you have the confidence of knowing that you're helping us run programs like this and support the arts community and the cultural landscape of Charlottesville and the surrounding area. I also want to give a big thank you to Harvest Moon Catering, who is a partner, and we'll talk about that a little bit in terms of this topic, but they're a partner of PCA generally and specifically of the Creative Conversation Series. They provide a warm meal for us, and we'll break about midway through to eat. But they're wonderful and extremely generous, so if you see them out there when we serve lunch, please thank them. So I'm going to start with a presentation, but first I want to get you guys talking. So if we can really quickly kind of go around the room and introduce ourselves, and because some of our registered participants aren't here and a lot of our observers are, I'm going to just have everyone quickly say their name, who they are, whether or not you're sitting at the table. So your name, your affiliation, anything that you have as a goal for this conversation, whatever you'd like to say, as long as you keep it pretty brief. So we'll start. John, you want to start?
Sure. I'm John Tallien. I'm actually not living here in Charlottesville, but I'm interested in moving to the area and learning more about various arts organizations in the area.
Mike Harvey. I'm the president of the Thomas Jefferson Partnership here in Charlottesville, a regional economic development organization. Mm-hmm. And I'm here to listen more than talk, I guess. Two ears, one mouth, right? Yeah.
I'm Chris Engel. I'm with the City of Charlottesville, Office of Economic Development, and interested in continuing the conversation that was started last year, and with the hopes that at some point an economic impact analysis of the arts could maybe be an item that comes out of these conversations, something that's new.
I'm Janet Kaltenbach. I'm the new Executive Director of the Charlottesville University Symphony Orchestra. As a transplant to Charlottesville in Virginia, I came from a community in New Jersey where the arts were the economic engine driver, and so I'm really interested to hear what sort of thoughts, ideas are on the table here in my new home.
My name is Leslie Channel. I have a storytelling group called Secret Yacht, 17th, I think, and I'm really interested in the retention of young artists in Charlottesville, and a lot of my friends feel like they can only do so much here and they have to move away to bigger cities. So I'm interested in making Charlottesville a place that's friendly to younger people.
My name is Gloria Rockhold. I'm with Albemarle County Schools. I work with the Office of Community Engagement and collaborate with different organizations, in particular with the Bridge program throughout the years.
My name is Jessica Fair. I have a practice in Site Dynamics working with highly sensitive and gifted people around the country. And I, right now, am just most excited that PCA feels like the only organization in town trying to do this thing, both of becoming a hub of collaboration, but I'm also hoping for a network, so that there is a way that organizations can be visible, events can be visible, and that I shouldn't have to come here to find out about the storytelling event. I should know about it, and I'm wanting there to be greater connectivity so we have that information.
I'm Kristen Sakis. I am new to the City Council. Hold the show.
Greg Kelly, the Managing Director of the Bridge, a local community arts organization, and here really just to listen and also try to find out ways that we can better serve the artists that we work with and build further partnerships.
I'm Ross McDermott. I'm a photographer and just recently invited by Maggie, so I'm mostly here to listen as well and see how I can contribute.
I'm Rick Easton. I'm a baker.
I'm interested in community.
You know, and I'm actually kind of, I've been laughing about being here because I'm not quite sure how it works and how it fits in, but I like it, you know.
Now, lastly, on a member of the Peace Corps Board.
I'm Holly Lee with the Charlottesville Office of Economic Development, and I'm looking forward to finding out more about the economic impact study that we had originally discussed back in 2008.
I'm Morgan McKenzie Perkins, Director of Safe Home Gallery, and I'm interested in any way that we can grow and learn with our arts community and the way we can not only improve what we're doing, but as everyone has said, you know, do more that will bring us all together and will create a wonderful, I think, community in Charlottesville, as well as a reputation for Charlottesville as being an arts community.
Good morning. My name is Kirk Burkhardt. I'm the director of the Charlottesville Albemarle Convention and Visitors Bureau, soon to be called just Visit Charlottesville. I moved here a year ago from San Diego County, which is awash in the arts, and my goal would be to see a community-wide arts festival to where we could really celebrate and showcase our local artists.
And I'm Kirby Hutto. I run the Charlottesville Pavilion, the newly reopened Jefferson Theater, also general manager of Star Hill Presents. We will probably this year be presenting 220 concert events, ranging from Fridays after 5 with the local bands up to national artists that will be selling out the pavilion. So we're pretty active in presenting events downtown.
I'm Robert Hull. I'm formerly with Time Warner. I have my own independent marketing consulting business. I also run a small business called Pop Crazy. I'm from the entertainment business, and I'm really here just to see how my experience can serve the community. I'm very interested in how we can bring arts to lower-income citizens.
My name is Peter Krebs. I'm a visual artist and a new resident to Charlottesville.
I'm Mandy Burbage. I'm with the Charlottesville Community Design Center, and I guess our interest would be in how to tap the design talents of our community to serve different needs within the community. So I'm here to learn about, I guess, the Chattanooga project.
I'm Barry Humphrey, a recent UVA grad, pursuing a art
degree. I'm Rachel Unkefer. Excuse me, I'm with Writer House, which is a community nonprofit writing center. And one of our issues, I think, is that performing arts and visual arts are all easy for people to see, and the written word is a little bit more hidden. So we've only been in existence less than 2 years, and we want to make sure writers and people who work with words are also a part of this. You know, when people think of the arts, that they're not only thinking of performing arts or visual arts, that we can make writing more visible.
My name is Kate Bennis, and I'm an actress and a clinical social worker, and I would like to start a community arts center here in Charlottesville.
Hi, I'm Sarah Carr, and I've planned a couple of craft fairs here in town. I did one at the Bridge, and I write on a music blog, and promoting music and cultural events in town, and I bartend in books and music at the Box.
I'm Stacey Evans. I'm a freelance photographer and artist and educator in town. I've lived here for 15 years and have worked in a variety of different roles with the museum, Second Street, PCA, and
I just really like the direction that PCA is going these days, and I'm excited to see everyone here and the kind of community support for a real artist center.
I'm Dan Zimmerman. I'm at Alloy Workshop. I'm one of the principals there. We're a multidisciplinary architecture, graphic design, and construction firm. And so I'm kind of interested in extending that to the community. We do a lot of community work, and so I'm interested in just cross-pollination and creative people.
My name is Kelly Oakes, and I opened up Skylight Studios with my partner, Kate Barton. We're both artists. We're excited to be down on the downtown mall. We're both a gallery and an art studio where four artists work. We want to be a part of the art community, but we also want to be a place where people go to learn more about art, and where artists congregate and to kind of feel at home.
I'm Kate Barton, and I'm a nurse at UVA, and I'm thinking that opening Skylight in September, but yeah, I think our biggest kind of role we want to have is to be supportive of the artists that are discovering Charlottesville, and to get as many citizens involved in the arts as possible, writing, visual, whatever it is.
We had a couple people come in, actually.
My name is Ashley Romanis, and I work for Charlottesville Abundant Life Ministries. I'm doing the AmeriCorps State program for this year, and I started JUMP. It's a 5th through 8th grade theater and dance program. It's an after-school program for kids from the Prospect area and Fifeville area communities.
I'm Sherry Smith, and I wear two hats. I'm the Executive Director of the Artisan Center of Virginia, which is a statewide organization for artisans in the state. I also have a consultancy called Lander Creative, where we work one-to-one with a select group of artists on different business development fronts. With the Artisan Center, which is kind of the bulk core of my time, we're really involved right now in building alliances, artisan trails across the state, and I'm very excited to announce today that Albemarle County is now officially going to be an artisan trail site loop system, region system. So, bravo to Albemarle. And part of what I'm really interested in today, we're starting mentorship and apprenticeship type of programming. We're going to have a studio school opening here in the area very soon, and we're looking for artists that are willing to get on board and start serving in that capacity to do some outreach and bring the career pathway to craft to the forefront. Bring a lot of young people into the process so we can raise the next generation of artisan entrepreneurs.
Thanks, everyone. As you can see, it's quite a mix of people. And as I was preparing for this presentation, which will be longer than I wanted it to be, I'm just going to warn you in advance because I'm completely obsessed with this organization. I had a mental list of about 100 people in town that I thought would be good to include in this, from the folks who opened Open Space, to the people behind Random Row Bookstore, to, you know, the old players, Second Street Gallery, all the people that we know. I mean, the list goes on of the people who should be in this room. On your evaluation sheet, you'll see, are there people here that should be part of the conversation that weren't? Any suggestions you have of people who you think would be interested in what we talk about today, please let us know. Doesn't mean they weren't invited, they just couldn't make it, but we may not know about them, so please share. What I'm going to tell you about today is an organization called Create Here, and this is one of the 8 or so links that I gave you. I really just wanted to give you a sort of swath of what is out there, what I've come across through reading Americans for the Arts, newsletters, things of that nature. We're not going to focus on any of them as far as content except for Create Here, and that's because there's enough content with this organization to talk about for hours. I came across Create Here about a year ago from an Americans for the Arts newsletter. It's based in Chattanooga, and they call themselves a nonprofit experiment, really, to harness the economic potential of creative individuals in Chattanooga. That doesn't sound like many mission statements you might have heard, and one of the reasons is that it's an interesting, it runs the sort of line between traditional nonprofit creative sector work and economic development,
design, business, local food, anything that is a buzzword right now in terms of shared resources and making communities kind of tick and work better. So I'm going to go through the three main areas of their work and then show you a slideshow from a site visit that I took in August to Chattanooga. The first area that they have programs is the arts. And their three main programs in the arts are essentially a grants program, a relocation program, and a more traditional gallery space that also has events and performances. I'm not going to get my numbers right exactly, but I think in the last, about the last 2 years, they've given a little over $450,000 in grants to local artists or entrepreneurs. They've also helped relocate almost 30 people into homes with an economic impact of about $3.2 million over the course of 3 years. You might ask where that money came from. This organization is entirely bankrolled by a foundation called the Lindhurst Foundation. They get $1.5 million a year to function. They have two real staff people and about 30 fellows who are individuals anywhere from age 18 to 35 who want to learn for a period of 6 months to 3 years from this organization. And they come, they're almost like extremely high-functioning interns that get a stipend. The way Helen, who's one of the co-founders of this organization, called them, she says they're sort of like on the fast track. They want to learn really quickly. They want to contribute their design skills, their copywriting skills, their event planning skills, and they want to launch into other careers. So this is sort of, it's almost like a think tank for young creative professionals. So the next section of their programming is what they head under economy. And this is really business development, which is not a normal thing for a nonprofit arts organization to do. They have springboard business planning courses, peer roundtables, and panel discussions. Some of that seems like what we're doing today, but what they're really focusing on is helping people start businesses. Like, for example, Rick has Sub Rosa Bread, prime candidate for the kinds of people that they are bringing into a conversation with professionals that have been working in Chattanooga for a long time. So they're trying to get people connected to each other so that they can strengthen what they're each trying to do on an individual level by learning from each other and sharing stories and tips. In the area of culture, and this is the one that is a little harder to understand, they have a variety of areas. One is called STAND. And what this essentially is a four-question survey that they want to give to as many people in Chattanooga that can possibly take the survey. The four questions are, what do you like about the Chattanooga region? Imagine the best possible Chattanooga region. Describe it. What challenges must be addressed? What actions, big or small, can you take to help? And they've been asking those questions. You'll see in the slideshow, they've got several thousand people who have taken this survey from all walks of life in Chattanooga. The other areas of their work in culture are LEAD Here, which is the fellowship program I already described, and Plugged In, which is essentially a citywide internship program, and Chattanooga Works. And Nikki, if you can, I'd like you to click on that Chattanooga Works link. And then at the bottom, visit chattanoogaworks.org. This is a photo project that they have. You like this one, Ross, where they're getting, go up to gallery at the top. They're getting Chattanoogans to take pictures of their city and share it with each other. You can kind of go on the right and look at different photos. So they're getting people in their community to envision to see their community in new ways, to share their vision of the community, whether it's a literal vision or a visionary statement. So this is Chattanooga, or excuse me, Create Here in a nutshell. And I was fascinated by the organization, and I went down. And I spent a day there with one of the co-founders, Helen Johnson, and I got her to kind of explain to me how this happened, how an organization, besides the $1.5 million a year that they have to do it, what brought them to this point. So we're going to go to a slideshow now. Nikki, you can switch over. But I did have a video that I wanted to show from the Lindhurst Foundation's website, which is suddenly down as of like 15 minutes before we started the program. So I encourage you, write down lindhurstfoundation.org, go to About the Foundation, and there's a video on there. And you only need to watch just like the first 5 minutes of it, or the first 3 minutes even, and it gives you a picture of the people behind this movement. They are, business owners, artists, black, white, old, young. They've lived there for all their lives. They just moved there 6 months ago. It's really interesting to see the energy behind what's happened
in this area of Chattanooga. So if we start the slideshow, the beginning of the slideshow will just give you a picture of Chattanooga as a place, not the district where Create Here exists. This is the Create Here area is called Southside, which is basically a bottomed-out neighborhood in Chattanooga that was kind of going under. But as a precursor to what Create Here started in 2007 is what they call, let me make sure I get the name right, Vision 2000, which started in 1984, and it was an effort for, it was a public-private partnership, basically on a broad scale, to change Chattanooga. They built the waterfront. This is the museum, the Hunter Museum of Art. They built the aquarium. There was a bunch of nonprofits that were cropping up. There was a lot of energy starting in the mid-80s to turn Chattanooga around, mostly in the waterfront area. A lot of money was pumped into the city, and probably some of the economic development folks here know more than I do about it. But the point behind this is that there was a precursor to what Create Here did. The city had already bought in and invested and knew that they needed to take a post-industrial community out of the dark ages. And we're going to pause in a second when we get to the Create Here sign. One of the initiatives, you can keep going a little bit, one of the initiatives is the Public Art Initiative. We also know about that from our experience here with Art in Place, but public art became a big focus for Chattanooga, and there's a lot of public art everywhere you go, and that's still apparent today. I don't know how much was there in the 80s, but that was one of the seeds of what Create Here did. And so this is me walking around. Now we're in the Southside area, walking around, checking out what's happening there, and getting a feel for the neighborhood. And this is the Create Here gallery and studio space. Create Here, when you walk in, is kind of an interesting, I guess we can keep going a little bit and then I'll give the history. It's an interesting mix of space. It's a community meeting spot, kind of like this one. And you'll see when we get to those images that there are fellows in the room working. They have programs. I don't have any photographs of programs. There's the sand survey that I was talking about. You'll see how simple it is when you get a closer look. It's a gallery space where they have events. And then if you go through the space, there's offices where all these fellows are working, and it's like, you know, it reminds me of what I would think Google would look like. Everything is well designed, everything is well branded, everyone is young and hip and smart and like totally engaged and running around like they've got a million things to do. And one of the things that's sort of overwhelming about Create Here when you begin to experience them is the strength of the brand. They've got a million and one different things. They've got the Chattanooga Works, they've got Lead Here, they've got Arts Move, they've got all these different initiatives, but they all look the same. It's very clear that you're in the Create Here space when you're there. I'm going to let this run. While I keep talking, you'll see it goes from the Create Here space to an organization called Green Spaces, which is kind of like our CCDC. It also looks at some galleries in this area. You'll see a view of the street. Pace Buds is something I'll come back to. That's about encouraging community members to eat locally, support restaurants that serve local food. And the last stop after the green spaces is a business called Need Labs, which is a bakery. And so bread comes back into the picture. But they're all part of the same corridor. There are not that many things there. It's not bustling by any means. There are like four or five places that you walk into, and you've never seen anything like it. And the people there are buzzing. So how did it happen? I'm going to try to run through the history pretty quickly while you watch. And you can let it play again if it ends. So I told you about Vision 2000. Well, there were two individuals, Josh and Helen, who are the co-founders, and they had a long history of working in Chattanooga. They had worked for an organization called the Association of Visual Arts, the local museum, the Children's Museum. That was Helen's background. Josh had worked for United Way and done a lot of business development. And they came together through a project that was funded by the Lyndhurst Foundation through their work with Allied Arts, which is kind of like Piedmont Council of the Arts for Chattanooga, except it's more of a United Way model. They give a lot of grants, sort of a clearinghouse for local funding for the arts. And the Lyndhurst Foundation came to Josh and Helen at Allied Arts, and they basically said, we want to get artists to move here. We want more artists to come to the Southside area. What can we do? And to find out, we want you to sort of motivate your peers and figure out what's going on. So they began by doing events. One of the first events they did, you'll love this, was Artini. So they had an Artini event. And it's, you know, very similar to our Artini event, except on a community-wide level. They also had something called the Tennessee Show or the Ten Show, which was an attempt to bring design to the forefront of what Chattanooga is doing. They had Angelou Economics come and do a study on what the growth areas for Chattanooga might be, and one of the eight growth areas they told them was design. So very early on, this is between 2005 and 2007, they identified design and sort of branding as a key area for them to focus on. Already at that time, they were looking at local artists, local food, unused spaces. There was not a lot of money behind it, except for these private foundations that were kind of getting things going with some seed funding. But a lot of it was making do with what they had, and sharing resources, partnering with local restaurants, partnering with local businesses. They said that one of these parties had everyone there from ages 2 to 80, and it was just like a big community event. So they were getting some fervor up, and that's when they decided that the survey needed to happen. And they created the brand Create Here, and then they started the survey. They went to Green Drinks, which is kind of, we have Green Drinks here in Charlottesville, but also we have Art Drinks. They went to the already existing networking events in town. They gave the survey to over 200 people in 2 months. And they looked at other cities, Portland, Santa Fe, and they were essentially trying to build an identity for Chattanooga and figuring out how to attract and retain talent, artists, entrepreneurs, get people to come here and get people to want to stay, get the people that are already here not to leave. I'm going to read you sort of a vision statement for this phase of their work. It says, the next big thing for Chattanooga is a million little things. At the end of the research phase of our project, we're going to put together a comprehensive plan of how we can leverage our city's cultural, social, and economic resources for the benefit not only of creative companies, but for all Chattanoogans. Join the party. A collective rethink project. A groundswell of innovators, entrepreneurs, and creative professionals. Create Here is focused on what our city is, has been, and could become. Touching on design and business, on slow food and sustainability, on neighborhood and new vision, on engaging the economic and cultural life of our city through progressive thought and action. So things started happening. And I don't know at what point along the way they got the space. I think the space came fairly recently, like 2007, I think the space came. But they started with some of the programs that we already talked about. Lead Here, the Emerging Leadership Fellowship Program. One of the key things to point on to touch on the Writer House presence here, they said, we don't attract anyone here that can't write. If you can't tell us how you think and spit it out well, we don't want you. So they have all these fellows that can talk the talk and kind of begin communicating to the broader Chattanooga community what they're trying to do. They also started the Make Work program, which they call a retention program. What can we do to get local artists to stay here? Let's give them micro grants. They gave away, like I said, $450,000 in 2 years to, I don't know how many artists, but one example they gave, Nick Dupe applied for a grant to open up a silkscreen co-op in the Small Business Development Center. He offered his resources to local and traveling bands. It was a private grant of like $12,000 to do that. We probably all know silkscreeners and local band members in this community. So you can start thinking about how something like this could help us share our own resources. Springboard, this would basically a small business development center for Chattanooga. They based this on Asheville's Mountain BizWorks. I don't know if, Chris, have you familiar with Mountain BizWorks?
Yeah.
I'll let you talk about it when we get into discussion if you feel like it, but they were learning how to increase local businesses' economic impact. And they modeled their Springboard program off of another community success story. Key elements of all their programs, wide range of demographics and ages. They decide who they're going to target and target someone who's on the edge of that market. They start with the artist because when an artist can do it, it says to the community, anybody can do it. And the same with the neighborhoods. So they're trying to move artists, and it's gentrification, basically, but they're trying to really engage the people with soul and passion for what they do to the areas that need help in their community. I'm almost done. So then they had the plugged-in internship program and the Arts Move relocation program. They told me that when they started the Arts Move program, they were giving people $15,000 incentives to move into homes in this area. And it basically blew up in their face because these people kind of became entitled by having, the artists thought, well, okay, that means I should get one of the arts, the make work grants. If I got this, I should get that, right? And so they had to kind of, they had to tone down some of their programs and feel their way through. Now they give you a $2,500 moving incentive to move to this area. I mean, the property values have changed. They've already started to change the landscape of this area so that they're adapting their programs at every step of the way. And they continue to focus on measurability, economic impact, what they can gauge that's happening so that they can continue to kind of spread the word about why this is a good investment for the Lyndhurst Foundation, but also lots of surveying instead of fundraising. They don't have to fundraise, they focus on surveying, which brings in community buy-in to what they're trying to do and gives people a voice, whether it's because they send a photograph in or because they came into the space and saw a workshop or they took the survey. So it's a pretty amazing organization, and one of the things I like best about it is that it's temporal. It's an experiment. They're not necessarily going to exist forever. They're here to do things in this area of Chattanooga, and they have specific goals that they're trying to accomplish. And they're ready and willing to change their programs as progress is made or as they're coming up with areas that don't seem to be working. So, sorry for taking a little bit longer than I had wanted to, but I wanted to give you the full picture of this organization and then start talking with you all about Charlottesville. We don't really need to talk about Chattanooga today, we need to talk about Charlottesville. But you may have some ideas. What are we already doing in this vein? What could we be doing that we're not? What do you see as our key areas? We certainly don't have a south side, at least not that I know of. It's a glaring area of this city that that needs to be transformed, but we have a lot of areas of this city that need help. And we have a lot of, we've had galleries closed. We have people that don't have the same resources at their disposal as others. So what can we do, and how can culture and a sort of entrepreneurial approach to culture in our community help make positive change here? That's what my question is.
I have a question real quick, because you said it. I probably just didn't get it. $1.5 million is what they...
Is their operating budget.
That's their operating budget, and that initial money came from 30 people who pulled their money?
No,
well,
I'm sorry.
Where did that come from?
It came from the Lyndhurst Foundation, and the Lyndhurst Foundation also provided funding for green spaces. I think they're also involved with Needlobs, although I don't know if that came through Create Here. But that is all a private foundation that's very invested in changing that area of town. The 30 people that I mentioned are basically the Create Here team members. Two of them are co-founders, Helen and Josh. The rest are a rotating cast of fellows that come, expend their energy, work super hard for like $10 an hour and minimal benefits, learn a bunch, and then spring into some other career path.
And Lyndhurst is a foundation based in Chattanooga.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And is their funding guaranteed for a finite number of years, or is it open-ended?
I don't know that. It seems at this point as though it's fairly open-ended. But I don't know the details about that. I'm actually going back to Chattanooga for a conference they're putting together in February. It's a two-day conference. If anyone is interested in going, you can drive down there with me, which is what I'm doing. But I want to learn more, and there are other people from the country who have expressed an initial interest in what they're doing with very different, not everyone is Chattanooga. So hopefully by extending the conversation to other people, we can begin to compare our own, our own environments, basically. Does anyone have, so can someone tell me what you think the priority areas for Charlottesville are? I mean, before we get into what we can do.
I would feel just that it might be to consolidate resources, to have one place to go so that everyone knows that's the place. Whether it's a PCA, now often I'll refer to the PCA blog. And one thing I was thinking about recently with the arts community is I'm a member of PTA, I'm a member of VABC, I'm a member of the museum, I'm a member of Second Street. Like, there's all these different art memberships mm-hmm. that I'm a member of, and I don't even know when to renew it.
you know, like if there was one, if there was an overarching center, which this possibly could be.
Well, the one of the things that I had wanted to figure out a way to point out through the slideshow, but I couldn't because I was trying to give the history, is the when you walk around Chattanooga, you see these little yellow stand stickers, the stand survey, I took a stand, all over the place. You see the local food brochure all over the place. You see Public Art Chattanooga all over the place, like businesses, nonprofits, near the waterfront, near Southside. They have connected. They are all part of the same web. And I feel like Charlottesville has a lot of the same resources that Chattanooga has, but we're not necessarily that connected. You don't see the same branding everywhere you go, like, whoa, these people are all on the same team.
I think that's a good thing.
Yeah.
In some ways, because I think an alternative to what you're saying, Stacey, is that having a way for us to all have clear communication and set up, I mean, that our whole goal is to set up a matrix of really strong partnerships, and that that's a way to lower our overhead as an organization and to accomplish a lot more because everybody has a similar objective.
Mm-hmm.
So it, rather than, what's a little frightening to me is the idea of this branding that sort of unifies and
mm-hmm.
codifies everything as opposed to celebrating the diversity of what's here.
That's a good point. I maybe misportrayed it a little bit. The brand of Create Here is definitely, it hits you over the head, like I said. All of their programs are very much the same vein. But the way that is connected throughout the city is it's pretty subtle. But if you look, you'll see that it's all there. That they're all it's not as though they're trying to create hereify everything, but they're showing that we're all together. That it's not a competitive environment.
Right.
But it is a very good point that celebrating the diversity of what we have here is maybe one of our priority areas.
And that was a question I had. That's what are the objections, conscious or unconscious, of this community to the connectivity? That would be one objection. And I don't know what the others are here, but I have to believe there are some for the way it is. And I would love to know what those are. What are the hurdles?
And I'd be curious to know that when you bring together collaboration and everyone is in true partnership and true alliance building collaborative work, what an organization like this that becomes sort of an umbrella brand can do to support each of those organizations. For example, if one of those organizations started to have some sort of crisis or difficulty, but was a very valuable contributor to programming in the city, and so the city, you know, you come together, we don't want to lose this. Well, how do they then support that one individual organization amidst the bigger whole of pulling it all together?
Do they have a board of directors that
they
create now?
They have one private board of directors that they report to. There's no public money whatsoever behind it.
And you said somewhat focused on one neighborhood?
The South Side neighbor. Well, I think, I know for the survey and the broader initiatives, they go everywhere. They go to a lot of different neighborhoods, but for the Make Work and the Move Here programs, where they're trying to get artists affordable housing, funding to make their work, it's all concentrated in that area that they're really trying to revitalize.
What kind of strikes me is like Chattanooga is four times the size of Charlottesville.
And more, I think. More.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
And you know, they have this sort of, if this is truly an umbrella organization, how does that work where Charlottesville's, you know, quarter of the size, and yet we have this huge diversity mm-hmm. where we're not able to sort of like bring all together. Curious.
Well, I mean, I don't know, like, this is interesting to me, and then of course the stuff that's going on in Braddock, Pennsylvania comes to mind, and I think that so many of these kinds of organizations and this kind of community-driven activity, it's so much easier to do in urban spaces. It's so much easier to do because there is an issue of real need, you know? I mean, I think that it's really easy to have, like, you know, like okay, we got to pull together, we got to make one focused effort because this is going down the tubes otherwise. Whereas in Charlottesville, I think it's easier to have so much diversity because everybody's really comfortable. You know? So I think it becomes harder to, to use that language, it becomes harder to make a stand.
Well, that was actually one of my questions. We're already talking about working together. We're kind of putting the cart before the horse. What are our needs? Are we all comfortable? How is it for an artist to make a go of it here? How is it for a new business to start here? Why are there so many empty storefronts in the mall? How easy is it?
It also depends on your focus. You could be looking into areas in Charlottesville that are sort of lesser known, have less of a voice, or lower middle class. You could be dealing with the arts on the level of sort of high art or contemporary art. There's so many different variables as to what our focuses are, and I think that's a big part of it too, that this is a place that has a lot of wealth, has a lot of academic influence through UVA, and there's so much energy and ideas going on all the time. It's like a giant laboratory. And that's a great thing. It's just that is there a centralized way to say our focus is to do this and to impact this specific community? And I think artists are going to come and go regardless. I think they're always going to be here. I think they always find ways to get work done. They always find ways to make things happen. We can support them, but it's like what is the larger sort of drive behind each of these sort of these creative organizations in the city? Mm-hmm. And that's where I see that there could be more of a connection, in the sense that if our focus is West Haven and Southwood, we make a very direct intent not to spread further, because we want to have a really deep impact in that area. I think there's an impulse to feel like, especially as artists, I know this is true, we want to do everything all the time, forever. And we're spinning a billion plates. So I think trying to figure out what everybody's focus is, are the crossovers in the focus, and then finding ways to find solidarity and share resources that way.
You said
that
it's not normal for an arts organization to develop business, and I feel like there's not organization encouraging artists to be entrepreneurs like you're talking about, and there's a lot of potential for that here. And there, we don't have those business classes or grants. It almost sounded like a chamber of commerce and an arts organization were one, and that was helping out the community and encouraging business owners to invest money in it. Like people who have seen money, because it'll help the overall economic development of the city. And we don't really have anything like that here. And I know some artists who could really benefit from some business classes. I mean, I do one.
It's coming. The studio school, we're hoping, if everything goes according to plan, will start programming in April. And we haven't put out a lot of detail on it yet, because we're still in some negotiations with it. But the idea behind it is multifaceted in terms of the education concept. It's going to support the school systems and the career pathways that the Department of Education Arts Department develops with the CTE programs, which are helping to get children really thinking in terms of art careers and or social careers, whatever. There's all kinds of career paths. But then it's also going to integrate into just strict, entrepreneurial type courses for artists. So even if you're not planning to go to college or take a next step with post-secondary school, there's all kinds of opportunities to help you set up businesses and that type of thing. The eventual goal will be to, really partner with things like Chamber of Commerce and different organizations that do offer services like, free legal and that type of thing for the artists that are in the community. And that all exists here in Charlottesville. It's not like it's not here. It's all here. The talent, the artists that will be teaching the classes, the business people that will be teaching the classes, they're all here. We're doing a major conference the weekend of the 22nd, which is all about business development. It'll be in Roanoke, but the ones after that, we're going to be putting it out in the state. I'm hoping that we'll get to do one in Charlottesville, since so much of where we're centering our focus at the Artisan Center on developing and helping artists develop their businesses is going to kind of radiate like a wagon wheel spoken out into a lot of the different communities around this area. So it's come.
We do have that resource for business assistance in my office here. Again, it's just a connectivity issue.
Yeah.
I hate to be critical of Charlottesville, being a resident here for 3 years and trying to do economic development here, but since I've gotten here, we've tried and I think really made strides about connecting. And if you look at Chattanooga as an example, Chattanooga is a terrific example. I came here from Knoxville, Tennessee. Knoxville always looked south of Indy on Chattanooga because they were a real can-do. I think that was their motto, even, Chattanooga can-do. Public and private sector support down there, top to bottom, is just phenomenal. And they have connected the arts with economic development, as you can see there, because Chattanooga, if you go to Chattanooga, you really get a sense that you're in a community that's on the rise. And it was born out of necessity. And I think Charlottesville, greater Charlottesville, is kind of resting on its laurels at this point. I don't know that we consider the community on the rise. I've got numbers that run counter to that. And maybe we are at a point, an inflection point here, that's being born out of necessity that everybody start talking to one another, and we kind of get away from being such an atomized community and really do start connecting things like art and economic development. Because going forward, when you try to recruit entrepreneurs or develop entrepreneurs or knowledge workers, it's culture that drives a lot of that decision, those people relocate to those communities. So that from the business end of things, I think we've made a lot of strides there, where we're doing not only the site selection assistance, but we're also providing existing business services in the small business development centers right there in our office now, and they provide entrepreneurial assistance. Morgan, you've done some work down there, so you're familiar with that, Chris and Holly and so forth. I think what we're lacking here is just that connectivity that you talked about. We're also a workforce investment board, too. So,
I know. I just realized
so,
who you are.
Yeah. we've kind of aggregated those resources in one place, partnership from the business perspective. But as you can see, sitting right here around the room, we still haven't connected, you know, holistically from a whole community perspective, what that means for economy and culture and standard of living and quality of life and things like that.
I think that, you know, I sit in on a lot of meetings and a lot of groups similar to this in different areas, and it's always the same thing. What we're missing is the network. You know, that more than an umbrella, I think, is the networking of connecting what we have to be able to see what we need, because, in all honesty, we've got a lot going on here. I mean, there's so much. A lot of the things people say, well, we need to do this. Well, it's still in here. It's just nobody knows how to get to it. So it's always the same thing. Why aren't we connecting? We have wonderful resources. We could use more. But we should be able to figure out how to create that net that's going to let everybody know what's going on, when it's going on, what's available to them. And I think a lot of that is based on the fact that one of the things in Charlottesville is that we're all, not all, but many, are independent owners of what we're doing. We don't have a lot of extra time because we're so focused on what we're doing. And to do what we'd like to do here, that takes a lot of time, a lot of commitment. It's not an easy task. So and money. And to back it up. So that would be, you know, part of our issue. Where are we going to get the money? Where are we going to get the people that are willing to do it?
There's two over here that have been.
Yeah, I think that Chattanooga reminds me of Charlottesville 20 years ago. You know, where we were struggling as a community, where downtown was really desolate. You know, you look at other communities around us, I would say, you know, if we're 20 years ahead of Chattanooga now, Stanton might be, you know, 10 years behind Charlottesville, Roanoke is 15 or 20 years behind Charlottesville. So I think the challenge has changed, and that urgency to really the way that you have to bring the resources together changes based on where you are on that continuum.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I don't think Charlottesville is, you know, we don't have empty blocks of desolate buildings like a lot of other cities do, and like Chattanooga probably did when they started. Our challenge now is we've reached a certain plateau of success. Mm-hmm. Now we've, and you know, like Morgan said, we're all these independent organizations all having a pretty good run of things, some better than others. But how do you now pull it all together, you know, and sort of lift all those boats and then continue to grow as a community? So I think the challenge is just it's a different you know, different set of issues and goals that we would be looking at.
This is a little bit of a segue into something slightly different, but I mean, in addition to the networking and communication within arts communities, I think the other issue that we struggle with a lot as a new organization is publicity and outreach to the community at large, the people who are the audiences for all of these things that everyone's doing. We don't have money to advertise. Most organizations don't. We rely on all kinds of free calendars and so on. Every time we have an event or class, I have a spreadsheet of something like 30 different websites that I have to log on to and post the event or send an email, for example, to the PCA. It's an amazing amount of work, and even then, lots of people still don't find out about it, or you send something to Seville or the Hook, and whoops, they forgot to put yours in this week, or whatever. If there were some umbrella, unified, weekly advertisement, you know, if everyone pulled and said, okay, advertisement, big display thing, here are all the things that are going on this weekend, or, you know, those sorts of things that could be coordinated and pooled under a brand, but that, you know, everybody has their autonomy and so on, but that they could be part of a larger publicity campaign and not have 100 organizations individually having to publicize everything that they're doing, every art opening, every class, every everything.
Well, one thing that we're bringing up, a lot of interesting topics, you know, the need for connectivity, the realization that we've revitalized this community. It's plateaued, but there's still some issues in terms of how we all work together. But what you just brought up, publicity, it brings up an interesting question. What is our audience? Are we trying to publicize for each other? Are we trying to get people to come to our event instead of their event? Are we trying to generate, you know, more people moving to Charlottesville or fewer people moving to Charlottesville? What do we want? Who are we going after? And what is our goal here? Is it simply just to connect with each other better?
I would say for us, we're just trying to raise the bar for people who aren't at that plateau yet. I mean, I think there are so many people who are under the surface or on the fringe or aren't living that high life, that comfortable life that most of us in this room are probably living.
I'd like to add to that a little bit, in that we were talking before about how Charlottesville is really pretty comfortable and you know, all this stuff happening, but I think if we look around this room, we see Leslie excluded, who's missing from this room, and economically, I think totally excluded from this room. One of the things that our community does have is we don't have a bladed neighborhood, but we certainly have a bladed class. We have one of the highest achievement gaps in the state. We have, you know, kids who've never, you know, even thought about going to college. We have, you know, a lot of people who never get to the point where they're even looking at this stuff, and the arts is one of those areas that's shown to be really, you know, a way that people can get involved in the community in new ways that don't involve a lot of, you know, cash or a lot of resources. And we have people here, I think, like what you're talking about, who are committed to doing that, but we haven't been very successful at bringing these communities together. And that, to me, seems like a big need for this community.
Maggie, I think a lot of what we're dealing with here, when you say what is our target audience, we go through this a lot too. It's almost like this big circle, you know, working with the people that have the needs, like Greg's talking about, that's very important. And yet at the same time, we have to have money to be able to do that. So then there's this target audience of tourism,
yes,
to be able to bring people in to create the money, to spend the money here so that we've got it. So I think our target audience is pretty broad because they're all necessary, and you know, we can't just do each other because eventually we run out of money, but it's something that I think has to be expanded. It can't just be one narrow focus on who the target audience is, because money's got to come in to do the projects for people who don't have money.
Just to piggyback off of what Kristen said, I work with 5th through 8th graders from Prospect Avenue and Fifeville community. So they're largely underprivileged homes. A lot of them come from single-parent homes. They're subsidized housing. There's a lot of social, behavioral, and emotional issues that these kids have, and to be able to engage them in theater and acting and soon music and musical theater is freeing for them, and it's also healing for them, just in the simple fact that it allows them to express an emotion. We have free drawing. We start every day, every jump class we have, we start with 10 minutes of free drawing, and that lets them get out whatever feelings, thoughts that they have. So that's just on a very, very micro scale, introducing just an element of, I don't want to say like restoration or like, I don't know, but it allows them to express what they're feeling, which giving them a voice is not something that they always have for that particular group. And I think another thing that's important is to think about how the university and kind of the social values of the university right now impact how we think as a city and as an area. I graduated from UVA in May. My degree was in drama and dance. And being a student there, I felt like I was always kind of moving against this current that was telling me to value social sciences and the business kind of side of things over the arts. The arts, to me, as a student, felt extremely marginalized at UVA. And I don't know that there needs to be blame. I think that just needs to be addressed and accepted and kind of dealt with. But I think that the way that the university community is set up can impact kind of our values as a city in a lot of different ways. And I think that's something else to think about as we're kind of restructuring or thinking about how to restructure some of these social values. Because it is a values thing. I mean, like, as a city, do we value art? Probably not as much as we value business and law. Like, and that's cool. But just, it's like, and then we can move forward, honestly. Richmond has this organization, and they have a cultural action plan. I think that surveying and thinking about it through surveys is a great way to start.
I was going to ask you about that. I wanted to, before we break for lunch, I want to ask specifically the people representing design community, or community design and economic development. What do you see as the priorities? Get out of the brain of what you as an individual think. What do you see the economic development priorities for Charlottesville being, or the design priorities for Charlottesville being?
I'd like to do an asset inventory of a product here, because I do know you heard me and Maggie at one of the Leadership Charlottesville sessions on arts and culture. Talk about the those communities that do have vibrant arts product. Visitors coming in tend to spend significantly more than those that don't have an appreciation for art, and that covers the full gamut of art. So for me, in my charge to promote the region for hopefully overnight travel, it would be very helpful for me to have that product identified so that we can help promote and talk about what our core values are. And again, touching on what you talked about, if art is one of those core values of the community, we need to put that front and center, because typically one of the major activities, aside from eating, literally, when you travel is shopping. And I know if you've got a vibrant community that celebrates the arts, whether it be in the written form or a show at the Paramount or going to a gallery, that money will go. But we need a story to tell, and by having those assets known to us and how we can work with those companies and organizations to promote, I think you will see, as Kirby says, the tide raising up for the rest of the community, but bringing those outside dollars in.
And I think, Mike, I think you touched on it before, it's also a quality of life issue. I mean, if you have this vibrant arts community and there's some, you know, business looking to relocate, that's a strong draw. And that's where the money comes from to then create additional jobs, to create additional opportunities within the community. And I think that's where, you know, we've been pretty lucky over the last 15, 20 years in Charlottesville, particularly in the downtown area, and those jobs have come, that money has come, and you know, it's been a pretty good thing. It hasn't solve all the problems, but boy, you know, we've come a long way. So, you know, I think that's part of the story that you're telling, is that, you know, you're reaching out to the tourists, you're reaching out to the person looking to relocate and trying to sell the area, as this is an area that values the arts, that has a lot of offerings, running the gamut, you know, from the visual arts to the performing arts, and that's the story.
There was one more comment before lunch.
In coming to these meetings, you know, I always look around the room and I see most of the people, everybody looks alike. You know, there's very few, we do not represent the diverse community that we're talking about. You know, I mean, we keep saying the community, but what is the community? Do you see what I'm saying? We're all just talking. So who's holding the vision for the community? And it seems to me, and that was kind of what I was thinking was going to eventually happen, was like a group of people are going to go, this is what the community looks like, and this is what we're doing to hold the vision for the community, whether it be how to bring people in from the outside to spend money, or whether it be, you know, encouraging the community members who are invisible. Mm-hmm. The invisible community, you know, they have a lot to offer, but we always break down. At a certain point in this meeting, it's either Harold or I, we're all like, okay, stop talking about those people. You know, those people are our people. You know, it's like, it's me, it's you. It's they're all, do you understand what I'm saying? But we keep talking in that language of, we know diversity, yeah. And it's always the other, you know? But
well,
it's like, do you understand the frustration?
I think that's always got to be part of the discussion, and that bringing it back to that continually is very important. And over lunch, I want you to think about that comment in addition to the other ones that have been made, and I think we should take the survey in groups over lunch. And I'll read the questions again, but you can jot them down. What do you like best about the Charlottesville region? What imagine the best possible Charlottesville region, describe it, and think about the comments that have been made. What challenges must be addressed here? Mm-hmm. And what actions, big or small, can you take to help? And you can talk about it in groups, maybe together over lunch, but help yourself. There's food. And thank Harvest Moon while you're at it.
Maggie, what was the first one again?
You're listening to the Charlottesville Podcasting Network's recording of the latest creative conversation, hosted by the Piedmont Council of the Arts. The conversation picked up again after lunch. Here's PCA Executive Director Maggie Guggenheimer.
We have a half an hour left. And what I'd like to do is actually do another quick sweep around the room, which will probably end up taking 20 minutes, but let's try to shoot for more like 15. And I'd like everyone, you may not have gotten all the questions, but do you guys need them on the screen again? Maybe if there's one of these questions that you really, either a quick answer to all four or one that you really talked about as part of a group or even thought about as an individual, I'd like you to touch on it as we go around the room again. And then when we're done, I want to make a priority list. And we've kind of got a lot of things going on. We didn't get deep into anything, and that's the way the creative conversations go, is that we find a lot of things like connectivity or you know, the invisible communities or publicity in various audiences or having plateaued, not having plateaued. If you, when you go around, can tell as part of your answers to these questions what you really think the priority area is for us going deeper, say that, articulate that, and then when we come back, we can make a list of our own together. So let's see, I'll start on this side since we went the other way last time. Sorry. No, you can talk about your cards.
Over lunch I was just reminded, thanks to Dan, about an exercise that we did through the Design Center during the last round of comprehensive planning with the city through a process called Neighborhood Design Day. And I don't know if any of it was around. It would have been in 2005. But as part of that process, we worked with Serena and Dan's wife to create these hood libs, where we had people fill out essentially what they like about their neighborhoods and what, you know, what things they thought could be improved. But I'm just going to pass these around because they're kind of, it's sort of like a fun and creative way of extracting some of this information from people. And the opportunity to ask those questions through the comprehensive planning process, which touches on the entire city, I think is a really good way of kind of getting to that question at the scale that we're talking about here. And the city is about to undertake that process again. Is it in 2010, next year?
This year.
Yeah. It is 2010.
So you're saying
it's happening right now.
The city is doing a comprehensive planning process this year?
It's about, I think it's next year.
It's actually, I think it'll be completed in 2012.
Okay. So they'll begin the public process lasts, you know, about a year. So there is an opportunity for us to start asking these questions at a scale. And I'm also going to pass around some of these cards. We had our fifth anniversary exhibit in September, and we had cards and a map of Charlottesville that said, "My vision for the future of Charlottesville is." And so we have lots of input from the community on what that vision would be. And our sort of vector point was very narrow. It was housed within the exhibit and this space. And I think that touches on an interesting conversation that we were having here just before we started again, which is what is the appropriate place or way to be asking these questions? Because the downtown mall itself is kind of a polarized place. And even though we are kind of asking the right questions and creating environments that we think are conducive to getting answers from people, just by virtue of being in this space or being an art gallery, we're kind of necessarily not going to be reaching this diverse population that we all are trying to reach. And I think that it really, I mean, personally, I feel like it's the one-on-one relationships that are built through projects like the West Haven Project and Southwood and our urban design class. That's the only way that I can see beginning to bridge those gaps. And it takes a lot of time. So, in terms of how you address it at the community scale.
One thing, I'm gonna make a quick response to that, and then also encourage people to answer in clusters so that we can get around the room in time. But in my cluster, one of the things that we discussed was the issue of apathy and how we kind of seem, someone's uncomfortable. We're at this point where we've plateaued, or we're feeling a sense of apathy for whether or not there's a need for anything, really. Maybe some of us, maybe not all of us are. But I didn't fully mention in my discussions with Create here that actually Chattanooga had gone through quite a bit of a revitalization process. Remember, they started in 1984, and a lot of the money and the energy had been exhausted, especially the energy by the time the 21st century rolled around. And it was the 20-somethings and the 30-somethings that she used the word lethargy, that they had no real connection to that effort. It was 20 years ago. They wanted to make art, or they wanted to have some kind of engagement. X Saves the World is a book that she recommended. And there was a sense of disconnect from the efforts that had been made. So while we may be, in some ways, leaps and bounds ahead of an area like Southside in Chattanooga, we may be in a similar position than they were before they started some of these things, and that we've made a lot of efforts, we've changed a lot, and we've plateaued, but there's a little sense of, there's less energy here than there could be for change, and what are we really hungry for here?
I think one of the biggest themes that I was kind of feeling through the discussion was just the quality of life, and how I think as a gallery, like, we want to see, well, in a studio, we want to see quality of life for everyone improve. You know, clearly you're talking about diversity and we're not reaching a lot of people, and so our small way would be, you know, urban, like art classes or whatever, you know, public mural projects and things like that. But being a small business also on the downtown mall, there's a huge community of going on, like homeless, you know, and how to reach them and motivate them to get involved. And I just think it's a good starting point, but it's so huge in my mind, like, just thinking a lot of narrowing down to.
Okay. Well, and also, I was talking to Morgan and a couple of other people about downtown mall and how it's frustrating because, you know, with a new business, it was hard to find affordable rent for a new business that, you know, we weren't sure how to even starting a business. So I would imagine that a lot of artists, because you know, probably just like Sherry's saying that we need more business help in general, that it's the economy right now, it's very difficult. And even though Charlottesville is actually doing probably much better than a lot of other towns, the economy is really hurting a lot of people.
Did your group discuss anything?
Let's see. So what I like about Charlottesville is it's a very easy, comfortable place to be. And that's what I don't like also, I think I want a few more challenges. I also like, let's see, let me go to imagine my best possible Charlottesville region. I'm into public transportation these days, and I'd really like for a train to connect Charlottesville to Richmond. That's completely off of It would be beautiful, wouldn't it? So challenges to address as an artist, kind of where to go. I have a few projects in my mind, and it's who do I approach with those projects? If it's, you know, I do see kind of maybe two groups. There's the education, for me personally, like there's education and workshop opportunities, or there's professional photography opportunities, and kind of where, which way you go on those. And then, yeah, so I guess, you know, what are the needs of the community and what are the opportunities?
What do I like about Charlottesville the most? Probably the size, and I like how there's no room to be unkind to people. Because you'll see them again. And we have to have a community out of necessity, really. And I think the best possible Charlottesville would have jobs in it where everyone made a living wage. And I know that that's, you know, typical, but I mean, I graduated from UVA and I can't really find a job that suits me, and I'm probably going to have to move to find that. So, looking on that, it would be nice if I could stay, but I don't think I can. And what challenges must be addressed? Probably employment opportunities, you know, branching off what would make Charlottesville the best possible Charlottesville. And, I don't know what I could do to help. I bet if I could figure it out, I could find a job.
Well, can I just point out that you've, in the span of less than 6 months, you've convened two pretty successful craft fairs that helped local artists and artisans, and not only from this area but the surrounding region, sell their work and their wares here. So I think you're already starting to do something.
So I love Charlottesville. I feel very lucky to be here. And what I've only been here 3 years. It feels very new still. And what I miss in general is not so much this, for me, I mean, I'd like to make a living, but for the arts and commerce is less important than the basic necessity of art as a part of any kind of culture. And that is, for me, a place where really difference can come together. And that's why I really thought that what I need, what I miss for my family and for my children is to go to an art center, which art, they're leveling. Everyone can do it. It doesn't leave anybody out of any age or any ability or any race or any educational background. All of these people can come together. And I feel for some reason like I've been here for 3 years kind of trying to talk to people and see what's happening so that I know if there's a real need for this. And all I know is that I still don't have it. You know, I still haven't found it. I just haven't found a place. And I look for the mall. Is that going to be the place where I'm going to have an interesting experience of, you know, beauty and difference? And I keep looking for it. And I've lived in large cities that have done this more successfully. I mean, growing up in Cincinnati, Ohio in the 70s, there were opera singers on the buses. I mean, there's like a huge resurgence of art in Cincinnati at that time, and they had dancers on the buildings at certain times, and I went to the School for Creative and Performing Arts, and I'm missing that excitement that comes from that putting all sorts of people together with this common sense of excitement and beauty around art.
I think mine's kind of similar to Kate's. I think the best possible Charlottesville for me is one that's not quite as stratified, is not really the word, atomized, I think. I think there are these different segments that are very self-contained, like UVA, like, you know, various different neighborhoods that are very self-contained. And I would love to see people come out of their houses and out of their, off their streets and out of their neighborhoods and do things more as a group, because, again, you know, being in a situation where I try to publicize stuff, I find that a lot of people just don't really go to anything. They just don't participate in whether it's art shows or classes or whatever it is, or the book festival or any of the things going on here. There's just a large number of people that do not participate in any of it. And I would like to see people come out of their houses and join in and participate in some of the things that are already here.
Yeah, I think best possible Charlottesville for me is one that doesn't have quite so many factions, I guess, and like you're saying, there's the university, there's that has a lot of energy and momentum in itself, but it is self-contained, and I think there are a lot of institutions and organizations in Charlottesville that are also self-contained. So, and I don't have any idea how you solve that, but I think something that could help, and it is hard because from what I've observed with the kids that I work with and other kids from families I know, is that, you know, kids don't really play outside as much, and it's more stay at home and sit and go on the computer, and that's frightening and so saddening to me, because I just feel like there's so much basic social information that they don't get in those experiences that they're missing, and that just is, I think, the age that we live in. But if there's any way to kind of disengage from the technological overstimulation and kind of simplify, you know, I think that's a huge first step.
I'm going to just read mine because it'll keep it under 30 seconds. creative people, entrepreneurial spirit, intellectual wealth, nature, and especially the fact that it's close proximity to other cities and cultural communities. I think the best thing to do is more of a focus on economic, social, and creative equality. The biggest challenge is giving a voice and opportunities through art and other channels to those in need and who are struggling. And still figuring out what I can do, but I'll actually do it when I know.
I think as far as what I like, is, you know, the natural beauty, the quality of life, and I think the biggest challenge in this, you've got to have the economic development to provide the opportunity for the lower class to move up. And I think that's where we need to find the jobs that are going to provide that ladder, find the company that's going to provide the ladder of jobs from entry level up to, you know, middle class. And that's something that you know, hopefully we can keep a good focus on by having that attraction of the quality of life.
I echo some of what Kirby said. This quality of life is certainly important. I've only been here a year, but I have to and I'm going to take my tourism hat off just as a resident of the community. I've got the best of both worlds. I work downtown, and I've been 3 miles away, and I might as well be over the mountain. It seems very distant and very rural, so I get to enjoy both features. What attracted me, though, to Carlsbad, and Charlottesville was still slipping that. I'm sorry, I blush. It's not a put on. That really was a slip. Is the marriage of the traditional and the contemporary? I used to live in Virginia, and for 17 years I just sort of took a long turn and went out to Micronesia, Arizona, Southern California, and I really had no intention of moving back to Virginia because I really like the West and I like the Pacific Rim, but. There were a number of other reasons why Charlottesville was attractive, but I did identify Charlottesville as a place where I wanted to live, and I like the pairing of both the traditional and the contemporary, and how and And I think that for me, it was nice to come back to my roots in a certain respect. But I have heard a lot of comment about the downtown down here, and please take it from an outsider's perspective. I mean, I'm probably the newest person in here. This is a very endearing quality to people. I hate it when I see the going out of business signs and the challenges that are going on. I didn't even get a chance to see Morgan's wonderful gallery before she shut the door, but I've heard great things about it. But this is, there are communities, many throughout the country, but especially out west. I know Salinas has done a good job in California with their downtown. The Gaslamp District in San Diego. There are a number of others that have done a wonderful job. But what you have here is a jewel, and it needs to be nurtured and taken care of, and you're not going to know it till you lose it and then wish you had this back. So there's a lot of work right here. It's a challenge. But what I see is the opportunities. I shared with Maggie and Morgan that a vision I have for a very successful art festival that we stole, actually, 9 years ago in Carlsbad from other communities. It's a chalk art drawing where you bring in all the artists. I think that something like that, if we could, you know, maybe at some future date after we had a chance to kick that around, see what the potential is to bring the various the mediums of art together that could celebrate the diversity that we do have, both from the visual, the performing, et cetera, all under one big tent, and that might be a great way to introduce one another to what we have in the community.
We've got 5 minutes to get all the way over here.
I'll be fast. What I like most about Charlottesville is the hometown and the small town feeling it has, even though you have the opportunity to do other things. I imagine it, the best Charlottesville would be one that connects all the dots and we're able to succeed. The challenges are, we'll always have the challenges of the divisions. Town and gown is something that exists any place with town and gown, and I don't know that you'll ever get around it. And actions we can take, I'd like to suggest that everyone, when they're dealing with someone, no matter what it is, if you're helping them, give them the names of two or three other places that they could go for the same kind of information that they could build on it, because that's how we're going to start the network.
And I'll just touch on that real quickly from the economic development standpoint, as far as the connectivity issue, because yes, I was a little surprised to hear that people didn't know that there are these small business development opportunities, free resources in our community that are out there for anyone who wants to start a business. And I guess what as a small business, I focus on small business development, help people who want to start a business, and I can sit down with them, with a business plan, marketing plan, tell them about the Small Business Development Center score and all the resources out there. So I guess what an action plan for myself might be is to try to help get the word out to the arts community that is the resources that they're going to do.
I can't read my writing.
I really liked what you had to say, and the only thing I'd add just for myself is, I'd like everybody to think about quickly registering for the dialogue on race, because I think that that's something that right now is about to happen, and it's a way we can talk about why we stay with divided communities. Ask me if you want to know more about it.
Or ask me.
Or ask Gloria. She's actually one of the women.
Okay. What I like about Charlottesville, in 3 months after moving here, I could start an event and have people come and create something out of nothing. I love that. I think Charlottesville is very diverse. I work with the same group as Ashley, more or less. My community, over 60% of people are immigrants. I would challenge everybody who thinks that Charlottesville is atomized to go out there and make the effort and meet somebody who looks different than you or lives differently than you. Because I think it's more in here than anywhere else. What actions, big or small, could I take? I want to have a benefit concert for the kids that I work with.
Me too.
Kurt, I've actually been here quite a bit less than a year, so I don't think I'm prepared to comprehensively answer the first three questions, although I will say I'm having an awfully good time filling in the blanks as I unpack the moving boxes. So I'll jump straight to the last one, what could I do? Because we are the Charlottesville and University Symphony Orchestra, we have one leg in town, and one leg on ground, and I would absolutely be delighted to help be a conduit for information or for communication between any of us and the College of Arts and Sciences Administration. We also touch north of 15,000 people, adults to children, directly each season through a variety of programs in the schools and in various performance venues, and if we decide to do some sort of survey instrument, we'd be happy to help get that going as well.
I'll jump quickly right to the challenges, and it's been alluded to already today, and that there's maybe not as apparent of a crisis in Charlottesville to, you know, initiate some type of effort like the Chattanooga example. And, you know, talking with people that want to come and start a business in Charlottesville, which I do pretty regularly, they all want to come here because of the quality of life, and some of them will even talk about the arts as being part of that. So the outside perception, whether we in this room know it or not, is that Charlottesville is a great place for arts type of activities. So, you know, to some extent, there's frustration around this because that crisis hasn't identified itself that has gotten everybody, more than just what's in this room, to say, hey, we really need to sit down and talk about some things or create this vision for the community, whether it's an arts-based vision or whether it's a, you know, entire community vision, which would probably be even better if we could get folks motivated behind that type of thing. But then the question is, you know, whose job is it? Who's going to lead it?
Who's going to pay for it?
And who's going to pay for it ultimately? Just leads to lots of questions, which is probably not as helpful.
I want to start a solitaire and get up and say, now that everything's been said, but not everybody said it. So, I mean, but it certainly reflects a lot of the comments around the table. I've been here almost 3 years now, and I was telling the gentleman behind me that the places like Charlottesville do run into issues like this because, I said, from my perspective, I think it's because you have too many smart people in one place. You do get this paralysis by analysis in these types of places where you really can't move the change, if you will, for a football analogy. And I, from my perspective, at the partnership, would love to see you know, a more regional vision for economic development that arts is a part of, that agribusiness is a part of, that entrepreneurship is a part of, and people to really see that, the leadership to really see that holistically and regionally, that it's all interconnected, and that they're not mutually exclusive, and they don't have to be, you know, at odds with one another. So that's kind of heady, I guess, vision, if you will, for the community. I'd love the partnership to play a role in leading something. It's not like I've got all the time in the world to do that, though. But we would certainly like to work with the Arts Council and the Planning District and all the other regional organizations to continue the conversation and see if we can really drive that process. Because if you look at the success of places like Chattanooga, that's really what drives it. It's leadership, it's a vision, and it's basically a place that says we're not going to rest on our laurels. We're always going to stay on our toes. So I can tell you what they're doing in Chattanooga, that's two iterations from what they did at the beginning. And they've really, really taken it a long way there. So they're looking at 2020. You know, they're looking at 2030. They're always looking down the road. So I like to see us do a little bit more of that because, again, it's all interrelated.
That's hard to talk. And that's basically the new strategy of the Artisan Center, and we're working right now, is on a real collaborative front and looking at the connectivity. The artisan trails, by the way, it's artisans and it's also agri-artisans. So, you know, when you start to get information on that, you're going to see that it's a very broad-based concept that's going to involve local business, food, dining, all different kinds of tourism aspects, and it's very exciting. But when I go back to the questions, you know, 1, 2, and 3, we all have our own opinion about, you know, what's going on and what we think is best. The fourth question to me is the most important one around action. What would you do? And when you say what you will do, will you really do it if someone came to you and asked you to do it? What I find is a lot of people have really good intentions, and for whatever reasons in their life, I mean, I'm not trying to be judgmental or anything, their good intentions don't always follow through. It doesn't happen. And I think we have strength in numbers. If we can start to find five people that all want to do the one and another to do the other, we start to pool them together and we disseminate the energy to make these things happen. But the apathy, as Maggie said, which is something that I'm seeing across the state with artists everywhere right now, is something we have to break through so that we can get to those action points and develop the can-do attitude that Chattanooga has.
Thank you. I'm going to do a quick summary of all that, like shorter than you think it will be, but before I do that, do not forget this. Please fill it out and give us your thoughts. So just to run through what we talked about, and seems to be kind of the recurring theme or themes, connectivity as sort of the polar opposite to the atomization of Charlottesville, what can we do to connect, to broaden and strengthen the networks that we already have or build networks that don't exist, jobs and the need for business development, the resources that we already have here, and maybe we're not all taking advantage of them, or maybe groups like PCA can partner up with small business development initiatives to make sure that's on the radar screen of the cultural and creative community here. Place, what is happening and where is it happening? What is the downtown mall to us? Is that a pressure point? Is that an area of need? Is that where too much attention is going? How can we use that as a resource to make the change we want to see happen, even if the areas that we really see need in are farther away from the mall? So place is a seemingly big theme here, and how all those places are connected, how we use them and become comfortable with the various places in Charlottesville. Voice, giving people a voice of all kinds, giving ourselves a voice, using your voice. If you have thoughts and you're not saying it, don't be apathetic. The role of voice, and maybe that's where something like the survey comes in. The natural beauty of Charlottesville came up a couple times, and that wasn't anything that we talked about, but maybe that's a core value for us, and maybe that's part of the conversation. Events, and I'm kind of thinking of events in terms of a lot of things. Someone mentioned a festival, someone mentioned a concert. Talking about the downtown mall, we're talking about housing projects. You know, how do these events captivate our community, connect our community? How do we make them happen? And how does place come into play there? Urgency, the reality of a crisis or lack thereof, the paralysis of analysis, who and what kind of action are the who's taking? The question of the regional economic development work that needs to be done, and how Charlottesville is a part of a broader community in Central Virginia, and what the needs are in the counties surrounding us, what the opportunities are, and how we all work together to strengthen what we've got. I think that's most of what I have down here, but I did want to say, so I had an interesting idea. I know I'm talking to the Department of Economic Development about an economic impact study that sort of put together by Americans for the Arts, and they're looking for communities all over the nation. I think at least 200 communities to participate in this. It'd be a 3-year study, and it's not exactly what we've been talking about today, but it is kind of a mechanism, and it's action, and it's more statistics-based and numbers-based, but it's an engine for something, and perhaps it could be kind of a two-part thing. We make our own version of a study. It's a simple 2 or 3 question thing that's more about the broader concerns, not just the economic impact that the cultural life has here, but how we see the cultural life existing and what it does to our lives. So I'd like to bring that to the table when I talk further with the economic development people, but also consider creating an advisory group on the topic. There are a few of you that seem to be particularly interested in being deeply involved. And I'd like to continue using the creative conversation structure as a way of going back to the topics that are important, at least to us right now, as the Arts Council. We've got education, economic development and marketing, and access, and looking at audience development and other communities, or the various communities of Charlottesville. So I'm going to keep talking about those things year after year, and maybe bring together advisory groups on each topic to develop more action items and start making things happen. But if you have ideas, or if you don't want to be involved, or you think it's the wrong way to go, or you really want to be involved, you can email me, you can put it on the sheet, but just please let's keep talking about it, even though we only meet on this topic once a year. And thank you so much for being part of this. I know it's a little grueling, and there's never enough time, and not the right people in the room, or not all the people you want to see, so let's keep going at it, and come to Art Drinks tonight if you're around. We're going to be at Fellini's. You might
have a conversation about some of this stuff and start making things happen. Somebody said ask people give people three things that they should go do or resources they should take advantage of here. So
Maggie, thanks for going to Chattanooga.
Oh yeah. Well, if there are other places that you think we should look to that are more like Charlottesville or that you think are good examples for us to follow, let us know and we'll keep broadening the spectrum. Thank you.
Thank you.
The yellow sheets can go in the basket.